Carmen and Yurko with Waddle and Sylvie.
Did you just snort as you said that?
And spit on him inadvertently.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. Sorry.
That's right, Tom. I've spit on you many times.
Oh, yes. You spit in my mouth the other day.
I sprayed.
This is Crosstalk with Carmen, Waddle, Sylvie, and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Thank you to our guest today. We talked to Jim Miller from Hawthorne. Now, they've got the staggered races.
Yes, they do.
Which is nice. So you can go to Hawthorne today and tomorrow. Post time today is at 3:10. But they'll run their races in between the Breeders' Cup races at Santa Anita in California. So that's great. You could sit inside, watch the action, bet on the ponies at Hawthorne. Jimmy gave out a few plays.
He gave out two. Well, he gave out four. Two for today.
And two for tomorrow. He'll be on with Mike and me later tonight, too. He always comes on every Friday with Odds Couple to give some plays for the weekend. He's got race 7, the 6-horse, and race 9.
The 1-horse.
The 1-horse today. So I bet both of those on my Express Bet account. The horse players, the handicappers love this weekend. This is the biggest weekend of racing. It's the Breeders' Cup. What is it? Like 14 races, I think, Jim
14,
said.
14, yeah.
And the smallest purse is a million.
Yeah.
A schmill.
There's $3 million races today and two $2 million races.
And then there's a $6 million race tomorrow,
the
right?
Classic.
The classic.
He likes the 8 McKinsey in that one.
Six schmill, as Eddie O would say.
Yes.
See, a lot of action for everybody this weekend. Mike and I have Odds Couple tonight, 6 to 7 after Waddle and Sylvie.
Yurko was a little mean to Eddie yesterday.
A little bit, but that's Yurko.
Saying no one's calling. Looking for Eddie's fix.
That's Yurko. That's kind of why we love him, I guess.
Every once in a while, you're going to go 0 for a Breeders' Cup. It happens.
Oh, how hard it is. I mean, really.
Oh, my God. These are the best horses in the world.
I'll tell you how hard it is betting on humans, let alone horses. I don't know. I mean, it's hard.
It's real hard. There was a time that Arlington Park had an opening race, and my wife and I went out there, and my wife did something you could never do at a racetrack. The horses she picked finished last in every race.
Boy, every race. That's even harder than picking the winner.
Right. picking the winner. I was going around asking some of the people in Arlington, has anybody ever picked the last place finisher in every race?
You should get a prize for that.
Yeah, we got nothing. They just let us go.
Thanks also to Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. Chad Millman, who's always great, talking about the Lions, college and pro from
he's
the Action Network.
Bears.
No, he's not going Bears this week. Uh-uh. And although he did say most of the pros, the sharp side is the Bears. They've been good as an underdog under Nagy, 4-1 against the number. Under Nagy, and thanks to Mike North, who actually likes the Bulls -3 tonight.
Yep.
That's his bonus play. Thank you to Chris Black and Adam Abdallah for helping out today, and Randy Merkin. Waddle and Sylvie are on the road.
Yes, sir.
They are giving away a trip to the Bahamas. So go see the guys at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. I love that place.
Yes, sir. By the way, the 1-horse in the 9th race, Dennis's Moment, which is probably one of the hottest horses any of the horse players
that's
have
the
been
nine
talking
race,
about for
Tommy,
weeks.
Dennis's
I
Moment?
I believe so. Yeah, if he's Dennis's talking about moment. The 9th race today,
yeah. Okay.
The Breeders' Cup
I got
Juvenile.
It. That's who he picked.
Dennis's Moment is the number one
horse. Oh,
yeah,
that's Jimmy's horse. Yeah. Yes.
Jimmy's horse, yeah.
And I heard a caller with you guys earlier in the week say that.
That's right.
Okay.
Yesterday, somebody.
All right, I'm going to bet it right now.
But Tommy, you just said he's one of the hottest. Is he as hot as Garoppolo and Brady? I know I heard you this morning.
You see that?
I heard you this morning. With Golic and Wingo.
Yeah, but by the way, it's great to hear you on the air, Freddie.
Oh, it's great to be here. Great to be heard and seen.
And this morning, Junior was doing a Sports Center update, and he talked about hot quarterbacks both in New England and San Francisco. And I asked him, I said, are you talking figuratively or are you talking literally?
Yeah, right.
Because both. They are. Muy caliente, mm-hmm. Both of them.
Well, that was our game, wasn't it? Handsome or not handsome?
Oh, yes. Both handsome as hell.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something.
A couple of good-looking guys.
Jimmy Garoppolo, that's the best I've ever seen him look.
It's certainly the best he's looked this year,
from
Tommy.
From a quarterback standpoint?
Yeah,
or
yeah
talking
from a
about
quarterback standpoint. No, he's always
did you
handsome.
Hear what he said also to Aaron Andrews?
I did.
Did he call her babe?
Babe.
Baby. Yeah, baby. He said something like you got to love it, baby.
Who is he, Frank Sinatra? I mean,
but maybe he wasn't talking directly to her.
No,
in
he wasn't.
In general, and the expression.
Yes.
What did he say? We're 9-0, baby, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I get that then.
Or
yeah.
Whatever they are.
But it was funny. If you watched right after that, as he was walking away, he looked back at her to make sure.
Yeah.
Right, to make sure she didn't take it the wrong way.
Good for him. He's a gentleman.
I forgot, too, the Niners are Freddie's team.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what? Meller and I sit around and look at each other like we're talking about our first love when we talk about the offensive game plan and the play calling of Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, he's good, guys. And what he does in the run, just how creative they are, all the different ways they can run, whether it's toss, trap, power, like whatever they want to do, they seem to be able to do it. And Jimmy G was great. You're right.
He was. And I get it that he was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons when they blew a 28-3. I get it. Nobody's perfect. But what he's designing on a week-in and week-out basis, and I'll say this, and Freddie, you could probably speak to it better than anyone because you watch them more closely. He's protected Jimmy early in the season because Jimmy's got a little gambler in him. He'll throw the ball in some really tough spots. But because of the game planning and the play calling of Kyle Shanahan, he takes some of that risk, he mitigates some of that risk, and he's allowing Jimmy, who now only has 16 starts, to kind of grow. So,
well, he did that. If you watched the Carolina game last week, right after Carolina went down and had a pretty nice run, he comes out, throws an interception, first or second play. Keekly got in the way, and he'll do that every once in a while.
Yes, Luke Keekly
will do that. That game last week, everybody expected the Niners to stumble against the Rams. They expected them to stumble against the Panthers a little bit. There was no stumbling there. And then last night, short, 3 days off, you play a Thursday night. Carm was on the right one.
You get 10 points, you take
Kyler Murray. Why not?
Well, and that's the other takeaway. I mean, yeah, Jim, we know like that Jimmy G can be good. And maybe he just, we've seen some rust from, coming off an ACL. Look, he wins. We've seen him be good before. He was really good last night.
Short week, rookie quarterback, and how well he looked.
My takeaway last night was not that Jimmy G was throwing dimes on third down in the second half when they needed him to. It was that, oh, boy. He's played like 8 games, so I don't want to go nuts, but I couldn't help but think, like, is Kyler Murray better than Mitch?
Well, of course.
Yeah. I mean, guys.
Do you mean of course he is, or of course you should think that?
No, of course he is better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of points, first of all. Do you know, number one, that Kyler Murray hasn't thrown an interception in like 150 throws?
Oh, he hasn't. He's been like 5-6 weeks without a
play last night with one, but yes. Yeah,
right.
You're right.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
You're right.
It happens to all of them.
Right. And then the other thing we love to do with Waddle, because it stirs the pot, do you want to play the quarterback index game?
Doesn't stir the pot unless you've got a smug Jeff Meller over there giggling about something that
I'd like to say. Let's do the quarterback. What did you call it, Sylvie? The quarterback what?
The quarterback index game.
Index game.
I don't know if you've seen this. This is like power rankings for quarterbacks, and NFL.com does this.
Okay.
They have an analytic formula, and that, like, just like they rank the teams, and it's not necessarily on record for the teams. They say who they believe are the best teams in the league. And they rank every starting quarterback in the National Football League. Let me call it up here. You talk to Waddle.
This is NFL.com.
Well, I mean, like a power ranking,
this is just based on the quarterback.
It's in timely fashion. So, like last week, I'd say the Bills were significantly higher in everyone's power rankings than they are now.
Right.
So, when you factor in, it's not, as I understood it, it's not last week when we talked about it, it's not who do you think the best quarterback in the NFL is. It's who, at this point, in a power ranking fashion, is at the top of the list.
Okay.
That's how I interpreted it.
So, they say, how do we arrive at these rankings? Well, each of the four quarterback watchers submit a ballot, and through the power of mathematics, we average out the results to arrive at our list.
Okay.
The individual rankings of each writer are listed in every quarterback blurb. With the season well underway, the rankings are now rely more heavily on 2019 production as opposed to previous performance.
This is their career?
This is basically, all the math goes into it. Who would you want right now
Aaron
Rodgers.
And stuff like that. So you're guessing who's number one?
I'm guessing Aaron Rodgers.
It's Aaron Rodgers' MVP to lose at this
point. Okay, so Waddle says Aaron Rodgers.
I'm saying Aaron Rodgers.
What about you, Freddie?
I'd probably have to go the same way.
Aaron Rodgers, you guys are correct, sort of, is tied for first.
Oh.
We have a tie at first. Who's the other quarterback?
Deshaun Watson.
I would say Russell Wilson.
Oh, that's a good one, Carmine.
Yeah, that's a good one.
How did
Freddie?
I forget about it?
Well, we don't have Mahomes there because of the injury, right?
The injury,
it's kind of taking him out.
But he could still be in it.
That's a great question, Fred. The way they do this is they rank the top 32, quote, starting quarterbacks. Right now, Matt Moore is the Kansas City Chiefs starting quarterback, so they don't include Pat
Mahomes.
So
I'll say Russell Wilson.
I'm going Deshaun Watson.
All right, so you guys are right, Carmen. It is Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers tied for first.
Tied for first.
Now, we have good news. I have good news for you.
Okay.
Since last week when Mitch Trubisky was ranked as the worst.
Uh-oh. Did you see him hit some wide open receivers? That's got to elevate him.
He was ranked as the worst last week?
Last week he was number 32 of all the starting quarterbacks currently starting. And I'm talking about, let me go to the bottom of the list here. We're talking about Ryan Tannehill. Ugh. We're talking about Daniel Jones. We're talking about Matt Moore. We're talking about Kyle Allen. We're talking about Jameis Winston. We're talking about Case Keenum. We're talking about Mason Rudolph.
That's a whole buffet of poo.
Mitch Trubisky was the 32nd ranked quarterback with all this calculating. Yikes. There's good news, boys.
He's moved up.
31st.
Mitchell Trubisky has moved up not one spot.
Two spots. To 30th. Okay.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
And do you know why? Can you guys tell me why Mitch Trubisky has moved?
Because somebody else pooped themselves.
I'm guessing then, like, Fitzpatrick moved down.
Fitzpatrick is still ranked above
me. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, come on. Fitzmagic was spinning the
pill. Oh, he's terrible.
Week.
You see the second half. I mean, please.
I know, but
Was it Kyle Allen's game?
Kyle Allen had one bad game.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm trying to think of, like, last
week. You're getting warmer now, the way you're thinking. Think about some of the stuff that's happened in the league this week.
Joe Flacco?
So Joe Flacco is out, and who else is no longer starting?
Joe Flacco got knocked out, and who else is not starting right now? Joe Flacco's out, and Brandon Allen's going to start
for
the Broncos.
The red rifle is Andy Dalton.
Yes.
He's going up just by default.
Mitch moved up from third. Mitch now is ranked higher than Ryan Finley in Cincinnati
and
Brandon Allen in Denver.
Because they haven't played.
Progress, boys.
So there is progress.
That's not progress.
On the way
That's
up.
Not progress.
Moving on up.
That was a I'll real kick that. In the little guys, Sylvie.
Isn't it fun? I love the quarterback index game.
Oh,
I really do. Now, this was before Thursday, so it didn't take into account Jimmy G's.
Yeah, where's Murray and Jimmy G on there?
All right, so that's...
Jimmy G is 13th.
This is before, again, yesterday's
before
game.
Yesterday.
I'm going 9th.
Yesterday's
so I'll
game
go
13. Is best game.
13th.
What do you say, Carm?
I'll say...
Remember, he had like 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he'll be in the top 10 after yesterday, but I'm more with Waddle. I'll say he is 14th.
Freddie?
9.
He was tied for 15th.
Huh? Yeah. Close.
Entering this week. This came out yesterday, and Kyler Murray was 18th.
So Jimmy G has been better as the season has gone on.
Right.
Yes.
So, Carm, this gets to your point again about you're playing the Mitchell game, and you're asking yourself, watching this, is Kyler Murray already better than Mitch? Ugh. And not only is Kyler Murray better than Mitch, according to the quarterback index on NFL.com, but he's 13 spots higher than him, or 12 spots higher.
Do you know what he's doing as well that Mitch isn't doing that would help Mitch's game?
Throwing the
running.
Football?
That's one thing.
Yes. Running the football?
Yes, and using his legs.
Yeah, he's an athlete, man. He's such a good athlete. Brett on Twitter says, Carm, did you really just ask if Kyler Murray is better than Mitch? He's not even on the same planet. Is it that bad already, everybody? I mean, Murray's only played like 8 games. Is it that bad? Oh, my God. I couldn't help but think it last night. I can promise you that.
Listen, Mitch has got a chance still to change the narrative. But right now, all the chips are pushed in against him at the moment from pretty much everybody who gambles.
Before every Sunday, before Mongo and I are done with our pregame show, and this week we're going to be at the Lantern in Naperville from 9 to noon.
Nice.
But we always do a thing called bold predictions. And most of them, it's, you know, we're taking a step out. We're gonna say, you know, we're going to go further. And I think I might have said something about Panero with field goals, but I didn't have him missing one
a 41-yarder.
But I did say my bold prediction last week was Mitch would throw for 300. And he had 253.
Interceptions or yards?
No, yards.
Yards.
He had 253. I mean, one or two other passes, I would have hit that 300.
We're getting there, Freddie.
And we're getting there.
They finally had a 300-yard game, Freddie.
Yeah, combined.
The one pass to Taylor Gabriel would have put you over the top.
Yes, it would have. It would have sent you.
You know what? And I love having fun with the people on Twitter because I was watching as soon as that game ended on Sunday night, I'm watching the Packer game, and there's a pass down the right sideline, and Aaron Rodgers overthrows Jimmy Graham, and I immediately tweet, "Hey, Aaron Rodgers just overthrew Jimmy Graham. Everybody overthrows receivers.
It happens.
And, it was
not
fun.
Seven times a game, Fred.
Oh, come on. It was only once or twice last week.
Oh my God. Once or twice.
It was maybe twice.
Yeah. Come on. It's like the Stooges. It's like with the Stooges when they go golfing. It must be getting better. The holes are getting smaller.
Aaron Rodgers had the filthiest of touchdown passes later in that game.
That's one of the best throws I've ever seen.
Yeah, but do you believe him, though? Part of that was good fortune.
I was going to say, some of that's a little luck.
Do you believe him, though? He said he was hoping that Graham could catch it. If not, then the guy behind. They asked him, were you throwing the ball away? And he said, no. He was half bent over.
I would never admit it either. I'd be like, oh, no, I knew what I was doing all along.
I mean, I don't know, it turned out to be a great play. But.
Yeah, regardless of whether or not the intent was there 100%, there was only one place that ball could be dropped.
Yeah.
And based on the degree of difficulty as he was rolling and going to the ground, that's one of the top five or six throws I've seen in the last decade.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Do you guys want to play another game?
Because you know, go ahead.
You know what it means when Derrick Rose returns to the United Center. What topic comes up?
Hall of Fame?
Every time. Not Hall of Fame, but you're warm.
Jersey retirement.
Jersey retirement.
Oh, no, not a chance.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's going around that, again, like people are tweeting the banners, and will Derrick's number, the number one, be up there one day? And should it?
Boy.
And here's my only question. Because I lean towards no, but so many people believe he is. My question is, if Derrick Rose was from Sacramento, California, would we be championing the cause of his number getting retired?
Of course not. But that is why. So I kind of get it. He is from
here. Should that be a factor? I mean, look, it's a great example to everyone who grows up, whether it's on the west side, on the south side. Hey.
Right.
Look at how far you've made it to your hometown team. So in one regard, I'm open to that conversation. I get it. I'm just saying, I don't think his player resume still is great enough other than the intangibles that you guys just mentioned.
No, see, if Antoine Walker or Isaiah Thomas or one of those guys that the Bulls decided to draft and keep in town, then they would be up there. But I'm saying not Derrick Rose.
I lean towards no, too, just because his career was unfortunately cut very short. But I get why it would at least be discussed or why the Bulls would entertain the notion. Because
he's a hometown guy.
Yeah, and he was number one, and he was trending to be so good, and he won them an MVP, you know. But I am with Sylvia. I lean towards no. His career just wasn't long enough.
I think it's one of those things, if the Bulls decided to do it, as you guys are saying, nobody would bark.
Most people wouldn't bark.
Why? What's the deal? It's up there. It's history.
Isn't it basically retired, though? Have a player come here and try to wear that
number one
and see what happens.
That could be.
It's happened.
People tweet. Abdallah's pointed this out to me, right? Tell them about that, Abdallah, how like people will tweet at the player.
I forget who it was that came here and tried to wear number one and the backlash and then was like, never mind, not going to wear number one.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It was a guard recently in the last couple of years.
And like the Twitter, the C-Red Nation came out and was like, no, you don't. That is his number.
So maybe they'll just like unofficially retire it. You know, like it'll go 20 years before anybody wears number one again, you know, or something. I don't know.
I still say it's in my time here in Chicago, it is the greatest. And again, listen to me. I'm saying this from a sports perspective only. That is arguably the greatest sports tragedy that I think I can remember in quite some time. In terms of a guy who was on an arc, then that arc was completely derailed because of something he, you know, it was out of his control in the injury.
Yeah, for a while you might have said similar things with like Wood and Pryor, but not to the extent of.
I don't think those guys were ever as good or their ceiling was ever as high as Derrick's.
I agree with you, Tommy. Maybe Woody's was early on. I don't know, but I agree with you. Derrick accomplished too much.
Rookie of the year, all-star, MVP.
Yeah. Right.
You know, Mark Pryor, the 1 year in 2003.
Right.
And then after that, it was all bad. He rode Derrick in 2010 to hopefully trying to beat the Heat.
I agree. There's nothing like it. I think you're right, Tom. Not in the last 20, 30 years.
There's nothing I can do to prove it, but I still feel strongly that had he not gotten hurt, they would have won a title.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
They might have.
I used to sit at the United Center with Perry. You know Perry, my good friend Perry. And I would turn to him with Derrick and prime Derrick in 2009, 2010, before the injury in 2011. And I'd say, oh, my God. It's sort of like how we've never had the Bears quarterback. Like, I thought we were getting a second coming.
I know.
Like, maybe not Michael, but he was doing things on the basketball court as this little guy and playing above the rim for a point guard. And I was saying, I'm like, look how lucky we are.
I know.
We had Michael win six titles and be the greatest ever, and now we were gifted this kid. And it was, for a while, it was the greatest story. And maybe for that reason is why he does get the number retired.
Yeah, he was like one of the great stories in the NBA, period.
It was Michael Carter-Williams for reference.
See,
Red Nation is out there, and they have reminded me that it was MC Dub that tried to wear it in training camp,
and
he was quickly told he's not allowed to wear that number.
Pick a different number, MCW!
That's the quickest how dare you you've ever seen in your life.
All right, what's on the show, boys?
All right, coming up next, one of Mitch Trubisky's biggest allies is now off of Mitch.
Oh, no.
For the long term. Yes. This is true.
The Catman?
One of his... We will play you the sound next.
Oh, boy.
This is a guy who has told us numerous times that he was going to be great.
Oh, boy.
And he is... No, this is not Cap. Oh. This is a real football guy.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Ryan Pace.
So one of Mitch's biggest allies is now off of Mitch for the long term and says the Bears need to go in a different direction at the end of the year. We'll play that coming up next. We'll talk about who bounces back. I'm giving you a choice of three guys, and we could discuss this when we come back. Of these three, who will bounce back most against the Eagles? Pinheiro, Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky.
Good question.
So we'll talk Bears and Eagles.
Again, Freddie, it was great to hear you on the station, my friend.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Always great to talk to you. And don't forget, we're giving away the trip to the Bahamas Bowl. The Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl. Come on out to Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. We got a great crowd already.
Oh, yeah, sounds like it.
I mean, you got to get out here. We're going to have a great time. We're here till 6. We'll give away the trip in the 5 o'clock hour. It's one of the greatest giveaways we've ever had. So come on out to Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, and we'll talk football. It's a Football Friday.
It's a way to kick off the weekend. Have a great one, boys. Waddle and Sylvie are next. Tonight, when they're done, Mike and I will have the odds couple. Freddie will be on tomorrow morning. It was great seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, great to be here. And also, don't forget, when the odds couple is over, it's going to be Black and Abdallah.
Black and Abdallah.
Because they
tonight.
Never leave.
7 to 11?
They never leave. No, 7 to 9.
7 to 9.
Don't get crazy.
We've got cots upstairs. We'll be back for Chicago's Couch Tailgate tomorrow.
You guys are
tomorrow.
Like me and Sylvie 20 years ago.
Exactly.
You know, we're living here.
See?
I love it.
Well, they're trying to follow in your footsteps.
Following the footsteps.
They saw what happened with you two guys, and they want to keep it going.
I love it. We used to do shifts like that, two a day. I love it. And then don't forget, tomorrow I'm going to be out and about up in Crystal Lake. The brand new Helzberg Diamonds in the Crystal Point Shopping Mall on Northwest Highway, noon to 2 with the street team. Tons of great giveaways, discounted jewelry for the grand opening at Helzberg, and we got hockey tickets to give away. So if you're up in the area, come by and see me in Crystal Lake at the Helzberg Diamonds tomorrow between noon and 2. Have a great weekend, everybody. Waddle and Sylvie are next on ESPN 1000.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
Well, I hope my daughters aren't doing that right now. I hope that they're studying for exams.
Are you kidding me?
Why? Hopefully not perusing porn is what I'm saying. Johnny was talking about porn. I'm telling you, I don't want my four daughters perusing porn on their phones right now.
Afternoons from 2 to 6.
Well, when is porn time then?
On ESPN Chicago.
I don't know. Answer your own question, Mr. Porn.
It's my favorite thing because you're like, you didn't want
porn
them.
Porn is your favorite thing?
You know, your soundbite that you didn't want them perusing porn right now.
Correct.
It's like there was a better time for them to peruse porn.
What time would that be?
Way to go, ladies.
I don't want them to do it then either. How about we just use the internet for something other than porn, right, Jeff? Why are you blushing? It's a little warm in here.
There's never a bad time for porn, Tom.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. Then true Jeff Meller fashion.
Make sure we cut that up for later, okay, guys?
Happy Friday to everybody. You've made it to your weekend, and we want you to come on out and celebrate the weekend with us. It's been cold. It's been snowy.
Yeah, it's been
so come on inside to Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village.
Have a drink.
Have a drink, and right next to us is the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl trophy. And
it's next to the fern that seems to be invading my space over here.
Is Zach Galifianakis here at all? Between
I'm
two ferns?
You. Telling
I
you.
Just saw that movie, by the way. It was good. Yeah. It's very funny. It's like a roast. He just roasts every famous person he gets up on.
My list of things I need to watch is like ridiculously long.
What to watch for coming up a little bit later after we talk to Dave Revson, by the way.
Rever.
Let me go over the rundown, then tell you how you can win this trip to the Bahamas and how we want you here to celebrate the weekend. Dave Revson is our first guest. So we are guest free until 4 o'clock. So if
Let's
you want to talk Bears, yeah, we're here for you. And I'm going to play you what Lewis Riddick said about Mitch Trubisky. If you were listening to Crosstalk, Lewis Riddick, the man who called Mitch Trubisky Maserati Mitch, is off of Mitch Trubisky long term.
Is he claiming that he actually was calling him Mazda Mitch and you just heard him wrong?
Right, we thought it was Maserati. That was on us, not him.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll play
Mitsubishi
that.
Mitch? No?
I don't want to get into the cap thing where you start then disparaging other cars. You know, like he did with Quintana. Those are all great cars.
They are fantastic, but I think we can all admit that the Maserati is a little more expensive.
Right, right.
Yeah?
So we'll play Lewis. I'm just trying to save you. That's it.
I don't give a rat's ass. I'm not speaking falsehoods. The Maserati's a more expensive vehicle than the Mazda. Sorry.
We
don't reside in the Mazda State Street studio anymore. First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street.
Doug Kazarian will join us at 4:30. We will have the mayor from Elk Grove Village on at 4:45 because, you know, they sponsor this Bahamas Bowl.
Fred Hoiberg is coming?
No, not that mayor. Oh. He's at Nebraska now.
Oh, my bad.
We will talk to Dan Weeder from Hallis Hall. I'll get you a full Bears report at 5 o'clock. But, yeah, we've got this. So it's like, really unique that the Elk Grove Village.
Wonderful place.
Sponsors the Bahamas Bowl.
Yes.
I mean, they got into the business of sponsoring this bowl, and we've got the trip where we've got your airfare, we've got your hotel stay at not any place. It's the Atlantis.
Listen,
the Bahamas.
I could serve as their representative to sing their song as loud and as beautiful as possible. Just as you were giving me heat for taking swings at car makers, which I wasn't. That was your poor
I've learned a lesson from another host where people were mad at him with the Quintana talk.
My point is I've actually stayed at the Atlantis on several occasions in the Bahamas, and I'm just here to tell you that you will have a brilliant time at that place.
If this goes well, I think we parlay this beautiful new partnership.
Take the show to
next year.
We've been to Mexico. We have never been to the Bahamas to do a Waddle and Sylvie live show.
Wait till you see the pool action at the adult pool. I'm just saying to you.
You're really selling this.
It's like an outdoor club. Okay?
Right.
It's fantastic. The music is just pumping. Much better than that. There is gambling. There is full bar. I mean, you have, if you want, you're going to have to spend a little bit of money, but you can rent your own cabana. I'm telling you, it is like, it's a really great experience.
Yeah. So we've got airfare, we've got your stay at the Atlantis, we've got all your transfers.
You're going to go to the bowl game.
You're going to go to the bowl game. Right. Not only are you going to go to the bowl game, but you're going to get VIP hospitality, 10 tickets as well. So they're rolling out the red carpet for you. So now, how can you win? The only way you can win today is by being with us in Elk Grove Village at Real Time Sports. People love this place. We've done shows from Real Time Sports before, this location and the other location. The staff is wonderful. The food is awesome. So come on out. Celebrate Friday. It's a football Friday. And meet your buddies, Waddle and Sylvie.
We've
seen people from the village already.
We have
people from the village came up talking to us. And it's just a great place to be on this Friday.
Yes, I agree. So stop on by. Tony, where you went?
It's funny. You mentioned that you made the Fred Hoiberg joke, and there's the Nebraska flag right there.
See? There's a connection to everything that I say.
I'm
not just besmirching future advertisers.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm doing.
Let me play this for you. Lewis Riddick, get up. This morning he was on the panel, and they all talked about Mitch, but the opinion that we want most is Lewis Riddick.
Yes.
Let's remember, Lewis Riddick again, Maserati Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis Riddick worked with Matt Nagy when Lewis Riddick worked in the personnel department in Philadelphia under Andy Reid.
Right.
So there's a connection, there's a friendship, They came up through the ranks, Nagy, along with Lewis Riddick. Lewis has been telling us for 2 years it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And, like, that was just the baby step last year. And this year he was going to take off, much like Mahomes took off last year.
So he was telling us.
Hasn't happened.
No, it hasn't.
So this is Lewis Riddick today when Greeny asked him, are you ready to move on from Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, I think I have, especially when you're talking about who will be the quarterback of this team maybe in 2020. I think Matt Nagy will nurse us till the end of the season. I think he will do what he needs to do in order to get Mitch to play at a level that will allow them the chance to compete for a wild card berth. They're not going to win. They're not going to win the North this year. But I think he will do that. But I think come 2020, I personally think Matt's going to look at this and go, look at the quarterbacks that I had when I was in Kansas City. I had Alex Smith, who's one of the most cerebral quarterbacks maybe to ever play the game. I had Pat Mahomes, who's one of the most naturally gifted to ever play the game. With Mitch, I'm kind of in purgatory, so to speak. I don't have either one. I don't have a guy who's known to be the cerebral type who can just figure it out, or a guy who necessarily has unique throwing ability. And I think that's just going to lead him down a road to maybe saying, hey, look, we may need to go in a different direction if we want to ultimately get to a Super Bowl here.
Yeah, and I agree with what Lewis's assessment was, but I don't agree with the thought that if Matt gets him to the point where they become a wild card team,
he's not
going to move on from.
Yeah.
If Matt,
they rally behind him now after starting off at 3-4, then we may be talking about him being a quarterback here longer term.
No question. We'll play it out. They're 3-4 now. Look around the league. If you look out west, I mean, you've got the 49ers and the Seahawks and the Rams.
Right.
You know, you look in our division, we still have
The Vikings and the Packers.
Yes. I mean, someone's coming out of the South as well. The Saints are there. I know that the Panthers stumbled last week against San Francisco, but they're 4-3, I believe. There'll only be one team coming out of the East. So, listen, if Mitch gets them to the postseason via the wild card, you're talking about 10 wins. That means they're going to go, 7-3 on the way in?
Well, he said in the a wild card contender, right?
7-2, I think that is 9 games.
Yeah,
left,
oh, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, 7-2.
Like,
ten wins
minimum, and you're going to probably need a tiebreaker to get in this year.
So I'm just saying,
laid it out.
Okay, so even if they win 6 games from here on in, if they go 6-3 or 7-2, it's going to be in large part because the quarterback is playing significantly better. And if that's the case, they're not going away from
it. Right, right. And Bobby Carpenter was saying today on the show that maybe it's a blessing in disguise. I know this isn't a blessing at all, that your quarterback isn't good. As we were telling you, he's ranked 30th in the quarterback index on NFL.com. The only reason he's not 32 this week, as he was last week, was because of the two young quarterbacks now starting for Denver and Cincinnati. So think about that. But Bobby Carpenter said at least he's been so bad to the point that maybe it punches you in the face and it forces you to make the change for next year. And he sold it as, like, the Jaguars were a year too late on Bortles.
Yeah.
Bortles, they believed in Bortles, they brought him back, and then they were stuck again.
Good friend of mine who's in the league, in an indirect way, says to me, evaluating the situation, listen, the real test of a great leader and great general manager is someone who's willing to admit the mistake and move on as opposed to trying to justify the pick by patchworking here and patchworking there. Now, whether or not they decide to do that, again, and we're all speculating if things continue to go in this direction, if you see more of what you've seen so far for the remainder of the year in the next 9 games, and they don't have a change of heart, I think that that would be symbolic of some issues that are going to plague this team for a while.
I don't see any way possible that if this continues to go this way for the next 9 games as it is, that at the very least, there's not an equal footing competition in Bourbonnais. There's no way they would ever say, if this continues, even with Ryan Pace having the big stake in this, to say, I'm going to continue the problem by handing this guy the job.
I don't dispute what you're saying, but what I'm going to give you in response to that is how are you really fixing the problem if you bring him back? And again, play the game out. You see more of what you've seen so far for the remainder of the season. How are you really addressing the situation in a significant way by bringing him back and making him compete with a reclamation project?
No, it's not ideal.
It's the best of of limited options is all that is.
That's the thing, and you've pointed that out, that they don't have a ton of options. They don't have a high first-round pick where they can go and they can get a quarterback. They have two second-round picks. They don't have all this cap room where they can go after Teddy Bridgewater or somebody like that, and even that's not perfect. But you bring in someone who has failed somewhere else, and you hope Nagy can reclimate him, or the competition brings the best out of somebody.
As you said yesterday,
you draft a second round guy or third round guy, and you hope you find another Garner Minshew or Kirk Cousins where he was drafted, or
maybe
Russell Wilson.
Allen.
I mean, like think about it.
Somebody that can
guys.
Develop. Yeah.
So I want to play you one more. This is Riddick, and he said this in the bite that we first played, that Trubisky just won't play the game. He expands on that here.
There's just too much responsibility on the part of the coaching staff to have to come up with something for it always to be right for him. And he can't ever just unlock, like you said, he can't ever just unlock his mind and say, hey, look, I don't care what happens. I'm just going to play. They want him to do that.
That's what he did at the end of last year?
But they can't tap into that on a consistent basis is the problem. That's why I think long term, they're going to have to go somewhere else.
And that's why I said to you yesterday, and I wasn't just trying to be funny, play fast. Just, less thinking, more playing. And maybe that will unlock some stuff. When has Mitch been at his best? And I get it. In a lot of instances, it's garbage time. Whether it was against the Patriots last year or it was at the end of the Saints game. If it was at the end of this particular game against the Chargers. If you go back to the Eagles game. When he actually looks like a guy that gives you a little bit of a bump is when they are playing no huddle and they're just playing and
like in the backyard.
Yes. Now, again, I'm not going to sell that as the answer to all the problems. But at the very least, what you have to do before you come to a long-term conclusion is turn over every stone. So put him in different situations. Try him in different environments. Now, I know they went with that before he got hurt. They were constantly kind of the muddle huddle, right? Where he was listening, they were listening. He was listening to Matt as long as he could, and they really wouldn't go into a huddle and huddle up and break it in a traditional fashion. I'm talking 2-minute O. Let's go. You can run the ball from those situations.
Of course,
you just have to be efficient and you have to be quick. But let's less thinking and more playing, and see if something clicks for him.
Don't the Eagles have a really good defensive line? And I would think that if you speed up the game, too, like you always say about playing against the Bears' defense, it's a way to maybe wear them out.
Right, and their secondary, the best way, listen, I want them to run the football because I think it takes pressure off the quarterback. And as we saw last week, when you run the football and commit to running the ball, guess what happens? The play action opens. Other facets of your passing game then become more effective. The best way to attack the Eagles, as people have found out this year, is throwing at their secondary. Now, I don't know what they're going to do. And I'm talking about the Bears coming out and from the opening snap on Sunday.
Do we ever now?
Not really, but teams that are focused on beating the Eagles will, in fact, attack their weakness, and their weakness is their secondary.
312-332-3776. Whether you want to talk about this game, Bears and Eagles, zoom in, or you want to zoom out, and what do you do here? What do you do with Trubisky? Obviously, still 9 more games to improve and to make this more of a conversation that he could take a few steps. But where do you think this is going to go? 312-332-3776.
You know what I have a question about as well, briefly? Their kicker. I'm interested to see how Eddie Pinheiro responds to the two misses and the controversy that he created on Monday.
I have Tuesday. The poll question, which I'm shocked by the results. We'll get to that here in a minute. Jimmy's in Jefferson Park. Hey, Jimmy, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're fantastic.
I grew up a Browns fan from Ohio. I've been in Chicago for 19 years, so I kind of root for the Bears. And I was just curious, if you guys could trade Baker for Mitch, would you guys do it?
In a New York setting,
I would do it, too.
Yeah, and I have not liked what I've seen from Baker Mayfield. Sometimes at the press conference and certainly on the field, but listen, this is what I talk about too. Baker Mayfield, as much as he's struggling, you watch him play and he still has football quarterback instincts. It's what I always talked about with Jimmy Garoppolo. Other than the intangibles of just looking. Did you see Jimmy Garoppolo climb the pocket on a number of occasions last night on third down? He feels the pressure. He slides a little left. He slides a little right. He climbs when he needs to climb. He drops. He spins out. Those are all things that most guys who are comfortable playing the quarterback position, because they've done it for so long, they do it. It comes second nature to them. So while Baker Mayfield has struggled, I would, if we're playing the what-if game, yeah, I would take my chances with Baker Mayfield if given that opportunity.
I mean, look, what were we just talking about with the quarterback index? There's nobody ranked lower right now, really, who's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, a lot of that's opinion, too, right?
It's opinion. Yeah. I get it. But, I mean, never did I think in 2019 that Mitch Trubisky, like we were talking about, middle of the pack. That's what he needs to be. When he was drafted second overall, we started the Alex Smith stuff. Our show, we were on that from the beginning.
Trying to sell you, Alex Smith.
Where we said, look, where is it? Where are you stopping amongst the current NFL quarterbacks to where this needs to be a successful pick? Where you go up, and this was before we knew about Mahomes and Watson turning into superstars. Yep. This was like Ryan Pace putting the cojones on the line, like Cap used to say, and his conviction. Where does he need to achieve to us say, okay, we take it? And the ultimate debate was always about Kansas City Alex Smith. Now, at the time, I scoffed at that because Kansas City said to themselves, in order for us to win big, we need to move away from Alex Smith in that very draft that you drafted Mitch Trubisky.
They know how to now, evaluate quarterbacks.
Right. Now, are you kidding me? If he could all of a sudden go from San Francisco, Alex Smith, to Kansas City, Alex Smith in these next nine games, I would do the salsa. I would be like Victor Cruz. I will do the salsa on stage.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you would jump in salsa.
No, I would
salsa.
Dance. I would dance.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would dance. I'd make a fool out of myself if he turns into Alex Smith, Kansas City.
Of course you would. What I wanted to see from this offense this year was progress. They were 21st in the league last year. I think I recall myself saying, listen, I'll take 16th. I'll take 16th overall total yards per game when the season began, which would have been progress because of the faith I had in the defense and the progress that you would have shown with the offense if you made that move. Think about it. Going from 21 to 16, that's a pretty sizable move, I mean, on a percentage basis.
That's like Garner Minshew.
Yes.
I mean, like all of a sudden now, are you kidding me? We would take Garner Minshew. Mitch was Garner Minshew? If I would have told you that in September before we knew who the heck Garner Minshew was, you really had to watch college football to know Garner Minshew.
Yeah.
I think if Mitch plays to the point where there's even a discussion, a realistic discussion about whether or not Ryan Pace should pick up the fifth-year option, at this point where we're at right now, which is like an all-time low with Mitch, that in itself would be a success. That a player picked second overall.
Or would it be a disaster
for us?
No,
no, no. It could very well be a disaster. I'm talking about, because look, Ryan Pace, we know he's got a bias. But if we get to the point where we're all watching and saying, okay, he's playing better.
Not bad.
And we ask the question, should they consider picking up the fifth-year option? That in itself, because from where we're at right now today, that would be a success.
I will say this, though, Jeff. At this point, I either wanted to go straight south to hell or I want to go straight north to heaven.
You want to...
Yes.
I mean, you want it to smack you in the face.
Yes.
I'm talking about the decision.
Middle of the road. I don't want there to be any gray area when the 2019 season is over. And by hook or by crook, Mitch can find a way to be significantly better, and they become a playoff-caliber wild card participant, and it's going to be in large part because the quarterback improves. That's what you want to see. Or, and I hate to say it, you want to see more of what we've seen so far, so there is no ambiguity when it comes to making this
long-term
decision.
That's why I want him to play.
And that's
why I don't want Chase Daniel. Matt in Portage, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, Matt?
Hey there. So what I noticed with Mitch, I kind of noticed it last year. Whenever I see him, he just looks scared, looking at his face. And then when he gets the garbage time, he's not playing scared at all. He doesn't have anything to lose. He's just out there throwing the ball. He's afraid to make a mistake, and I thought, I was kind of high on him a little bit, I thought he could pull out of that. Just like any athlete, you start off young and you work your way through and you become confident, but it's just not there. He still seems scared. and he can't make it work. So,
I was talking.
I'm on board.
If I was talking to Mitch before the game was kicked off, okay, we're receiving. I'm on the sideline. Okay, ball goes to the end zone, or more than likely, Cordero Patterson will take it from 9 yards deep and get tackled at the 24. Or he may take one back. I don't know.
But then he gets the first handoff, too, after that
right.
as well.
Keeps but what him. I would tell Mitch is, hey, Mitch, don't panic. We're down 17, okay? Just go play. We're down okay. – you know what? I'm sorry. I saw the scoreboard wrong. We're down 24. Just go play.
At the start of the game, you're telling him
this? Yeah, the opening kick. We're down 24. Just go play. Stop worrying about things and just go play. I just want them to eliminate all of – listen, you got to think some. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you just – you know, you don't want him to think about doing – what I'm telling you is just go play, less thinking, more playing, and see what happens. Could it get any worse?
F it and sling it.
Yeah.
Right? How about that?
Yeah.
Is that a good motto? You're a motto guy. No?
Yeah.
You're not buying that one?
No,
Does it
I
need
mean,
to be workshopped
the kids,
more?
No, the problem is the kids can't say it.
Okay. Jack is in Lakeview. Hey, Jack, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up?
You tell me.
So I just wanted to call in and ask you guys what you think our best bet is for quarterback next year in case or on the off chance that Mitch doesn't pan out. Personally, I think it's Rosen because I think he can be had for a piece of draft capital that we do have, which we're kind of thin on. And you guys also want to know if you trust Case to be making the decision on a quarterback because, you know, personally, I think his career as the Bears GM has been a wash at this point. The whole trading up the draft Trubisky thing and Khalil Mack grab kind of cancel each other out and, you know, Shaheen in the second, it's all over the place. So I don't really know what to believe in anymore. And
well, I mean, this is what I would say about it's a very
– Who did he say that he liked for the option of Dalla? I missed that.
Maybe Adam passed out.
I don't know.
I was getting another call. I believe he wanted to bring in a veteran like Mariota. Yeah.
This is what I would say. Skepticism about Ryan Pace's ability to find the right guy at quarterback is fair. And I know this may not sit well with people that are very unhappy with the coach, but I would give Matt Nagy a louder voice in that room picking the next quarterback than I would the general manager.
Well, he was a part of the search in that same year.
Yes.
As the coaching staff. Do you think the
in
coaching
Kansas
staff
City.
Really had a big impact too on who they drafted
yes.
when John Dorsey was the general manager?
I do. Yes.
So now remember what Pace did. Pace did the opposite.
Pace went
rogue.
Yeah.
Now say what you want about John Fox or Dowell Loggins. But he didn't tell them. They didn't have these hard meetings in the draft room or before that leading up to that week where he could at least, you know, look, there are two sides to every debate.
Sure.
And no one was able to debate it with him because he just trusted his gut so much. And when you do that and you get it wrong,
you're in trouble.
And that's the faulty process then.
Well, that's why I'm saying to you, and again, this is after what we've seen the last few weeks, this may not sound like a great idea to a lot of people that are upset with some of the coaching decisions, but I would certainly hope that if another decision was made, the coach's voice would be the loudest voice with regard to the personnel decision.
All right, I've got the poll question. And, again, we are guest-free until 4, so 312-332-3776. Which member of the Bears are you counting on to bounce back most against the Eagles? I've got three options. You have to pick one. You cannot vote none of the above.
Is this who I think will, or do
yes.
we need him to bounce
no,
back?
No, who you think will, okay. that you would bet on. 332-3776. We're live in...
We are alive.
Right, in Elk Grove Village.
Yeah, for the time being.
Right, we are live in Elk Grove Village at Real Time Sports, and we've got a trip to the Bahamas, courtesy of the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl and Elk Grove Village. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.